Yes, what is your name, sir?
Benny Joe Gibson Jr.
Okay, who's going to, Honorable Miss Rittenhouse is going to serve as your lead, sir, so just hold on, she'll be right with you.
Okay, Mr. Gibson, could you please state your full name and your ADC number?
Benny Joe Gibson Jr., 156539.
Thank you. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the two allegations that are on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on August 31st. You signed a form that day, do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay, that would be the form telling you the hearing would be today. And on that form is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire, at your expense, an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney today, sir, or will you represent yourself?
No, ma'am, I'll represent myself.
That's fine. The attorney is just your right, if you wanted it. I'd like to introduce you to the board who is conducting the hearing. If you look to your right, so my left, all the way at the end of the bench is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Right next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me in the middle here is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Over on my other side here is the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be your panel lead for today. Also, we have in the room with us the Honorable Mr. Westby, who you'll be able to see right now on the camera. He is with the Department of Corrections, and he'll represent the department and your parole officer in the hearing today. So I need to swear to both of you in. So Mr. Gibson and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Gibson.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. And Mr. Westby.
I do have something from the page 1 of the warrant.
Okay.
There is a typo on the middle right side of page 1 in all-time it's got August 16th, 2018. That is an error. There is this standard of standard violation, so that should say NA.
Okay. Mr. Gibson, I just want to let you know that we just amended the warrant, and all that was, there was just an error. There was a number written in the all-time stop that's indicated ATS. There should have been no number there. It should just say NA. So we changed that on your warrant, just to let you know. Okay, so Mr. Gibson, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we determine if the conditions of community supervision were violated. And then in phase two, we determine if your community supervision would be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, what I'm going to do is I'll read each of these two allegations to you, and I need you to respond if they're true or false. Okay, sir? So we'll begin phase one of your hearing. The first allegation is that you were in violation of condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your engaging in the sale or distribution of drugs on or about August 16, 2018. Mr. Gibson, is that true or false?
False.
That's false. Okay. Allegation number two, suggests that you were in violation of condition of supervision number 8 on or about August 16th, as demonstrated by your association with a known individual engaging in the sale of weapons. Mr. Gibson, is that true or false?
False.
That's false also? Okay, Mr. Gibson, since you've indicated those are false, I'm going to take testimony from Mr. Westby of the Department of Corrections. Mr. Westby.
On August 16th, 2018, Frederick Gibson, Benny, 156539, staff at Senior Boston Mayor, due to him missing the scheduled contact visits, during the time the offender's cell phone was searched. It was discovered that the offender Gibson Benny 156539 was engaged in criminal activities by transporting drugs, buying and selling drugs. On August 16, 2018, Officer Gross observed Facebook messages between the offender and an unknown individual user named Daniel telling the offender Gibson, Benny 156539, quote, "I put the sack under the gas cap," unquote. Said individual in another conversation sends the offender a picture of an unknown female, stated, quote, "Be careful, this bitch is a narcotics officer posing as a user dealer. Get this out, she goes by Britney," end quote. On August 16, 2018, Officer Gross observed the offender signed into Facebook Messenger under his name, showing that his offender, Gibson Benny 156539, having a conversation with an unknown male using the username Daniel, discussing the sale and distribution of drugs. Senior Call Officer Maynard also observed offender Gibson Benny 156539 texting an unknown individual, telling him that he was at the parole office. An attached warrant is copies of the photographs.
Okay, so Mr. Gibson, what is not true about that? We have attached copies of your texts.
Okay, those are only partial of each conversation. They're not the whole conversation. And for one, Daniel was my little brother. And the guns, those were his guns, and they're licensed to him. And I did ask him what he wanted for them, because I have my cousin's a security guard, and I gave him my cousin's number, and that's it. And like I say, I had nothing to do with those guns. My brother lives in Yuma, Arizona, and I reside in Phoenix. Okay, now the text meant the message about the sack under the gas cap, that's an ongoing joke for me and my brother. Like, because there's a saying with youth that, okay, like gas is like, it's good, like good like weed or whatever, gas or bomb or it's, so that's like an ongoing joke. And if they had the rest of the message, then they would see that. And it's vice versa. That's me texting him saying that I put it under the gas cap. Like it's.
Okay.
He's not messaging me that. The message, the one about the female that's supposedly a narcotics agent, somebody else sent that to me. And like say, I get a lot of messages on my Facebook, and I just send them like to everybody that's on my friend list. So that wasn't my brother sending me that. That was actually me sending that out, I guess, because like I said, I get a lot of messages and I just send them like to everybody on my thing. But as far as me having transporting and selling guns or drugs, that's false.
Well, Mr. Gibson, can you see where people would think differently based on these messages?
I can understand about the picture, but the thing is, they're like, everything that's right here, there's nothing like, it's not, I don't have nothing to do with that. Like, I can't control the picture that somebody sent me. I understand that. I can understand if it's, okay, if I'm saying, okay, well, I'll give you this much money for this, or, you know, that makes sense. Like, the money that's occurred, they took another message from my friend Stephanie, and me and her went to rehab together, okay? And she asked me if I had $10, and I told her, and then she started going off about some pills that she had, and I told her, no, I don't have $10, I need gas money to get back. I would help you out if I could. That's with the $10, that has nothing to do with any drugs. And then later on, in the messages, if they would have took the rest of the messages, it tells her that, look, I don't even take pills when I'm sick. I don't have nothing to do with that. Before they arrested me and they booked me in, and they asked me, well, what else were you doing that we'll give you a chance? And I told them, like, okay, I came in here today. I have a job. I was hired for at a Core Slab Industries as a laborer. So I came in with a job. I didn't miss a scheduled appointment. I had a court date.
Mr. Gibson, can I just ask you, we can discuss all of that in phase two of the hearing, But if we could just stick to phase one, I still need to take testimony from Mr. Westby on the second allegation. So if we could just do that, and then you'll have plenty of chance to tell us all that in just a minute. Mr. Westby.
On March 16, 2018, defendant Gibson, W156529, was staffed at Senior Falls and Mayor due to missing the scheduled contact visits, during which time the defendant's cell phone was searched. It discovered that the defendant Gibson, W156539, was engaged in criminal activities by associating with an individual selling weapons, which Gibson, W156539, acquired without purchasing, knowing that he is a prohibited possessor. On August 16, 2018, Officer Gross observed Facebook Messenger messages between the offender and an unknown individual user named Daniel telling the offender Gibson Betting 156539, quote, "Well, if no one gets them off me by the time I see you, I'll give you the rifle and pistol," end quote. And offender Gibson Betting 156539 response, quote, "What do you need for them?" End quote. Officer Gross observed messages between the unknown individual named Daniel sending the offender Gibson Benny 156539 pictures of the weapons for sale and asking $180 for all three weapons. On August 16, 2018, Officer Gross observed the offender signed into Facebook Messenger under his name, showing that it is the offender Gibson Benny 156539, having a conversation with the unknown male using the username Daniel, engaged in the sale of weapons as a prohibited possessor. Senior Officer Officer Mayman also observed the offender Gibson, W156539, texting an unknown individual telling him he was at the court office and attached to warrant hard copies of pictures.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Westby. Well, given that Mr. Gibson has already given his position on this second allegation, he's given his position on both allegations, I am going to make a motion based on testimony from Mr. Westby. I move to find Mr. Gibson delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Okay,
I didn't, who was the second? I'm sorry.
Mr.
Neal? Mr. Neal? Oh, yes. Thank you. Okay, and then agreed by Dr. Mr. Johnson and Mr. Quinones. I'm marking some. Okay. All right, Mr. Gibson, we're going to move to phase two of your hearing, which is probably the most important one to you, and that's if your supervision would be reinstated or revoked. So what I'm going to do at the beginning of this is ask Mr. Westby to give us all some background information about your supervision, and then we'll be right back with you, and then you can explain what you started explaining before. And I appreciate you being patient with that. Thank you. Mr. Westby.
On June 7th, 2018, Mr. Gibson was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested on August 16th, 2018 by ABC staff for unknown charges. He was back in U.S. custody on August 16th, 2018 with a projected community supervision end date of February 5th, 2019, 0 absconding days. Prior conviction, 2016, burglary, third degree, 3 years. Prior convictions, 2001, burglary, second degree, 3.5 years. 2010, unlawful use of means of transportation, 2 years. 2010, dangerous drug violation, 2 years. 2014, dangerous drug violation, 1.5 years. This is his fourth term at DOC. CUI score, 2-2. Mental health score 1, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2003. TLS release of standard, 183 days. Being seen by the BOAC, then he extended 121 days. Arrested on a new felony, possession of drug paraphernalia, and providing false info. Read CACD prior to seeing the BOAC. 2010, TLS release of standard, 115 days. Revoked with the BOAC. His disciplinary violations are moderate, drugs noted. Other arrests, 1994, arson of a structure, Arizona, juvenile probation. 1994, burglary, Arizona, juvenile probation. 1994, theft, Arizona, juvenile probation. 1995, burglary, third degree, juvenile probation. 1995, burglary, juvenile probation. 1995, theft, juvenile probation. 1996, theft of vehicle, juvenile probation. 1996, burglary, third degree, juvenile detention. 2006, dangerous drug violation, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. And numerous other arrests, however, charges were not filed or processed. This community risk score is a G5B6.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Okay, Mr. Gibson, back to you. We have just a very short little summary about your supervision. It looks like you were released to live with your mother and your aunt on Claremont Street in Phoenix. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and did you stay there the whole time you were out?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and were you working at all?
I just obtained employment.
And what was that?
For Course Lab Industries.
Okay, Course Lab, all right. And you were enrolled in task to, with the color code, you had the color line. Did you give any samples or no, a task?
Yes.
You did? And how did those come out, do you know?
They were clean to my acknowledgement.
Okay, so you had given some clean samples. It looks like you did not submit one at one point, and you were sent to sanction at MRC for 14 days?
No, I was sanctioned for 7 days.
7 days, okay. And did you go complete that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What did you think of the program up there at MRC?
It was like a lot of the stuff that they've done, like I've done like juvenile and things, but I think that it was eye-opener, like, because I got into a car accident, so that's the reason why I hadn't obtained employment. Like from off the jump, I got into a car accident like a week or 2 weeks after. So my foot was, I had to go get in check for the hairline fractures or whatever, but it was just, I guess, really bruised or whatever. But it was an eye-opener that I wasn't really on track like I should have been. And, I mean, it was good, like...
Okay. Well, you just mentioned that you had been in rehab before, and I just wondered what you thought of this program, kind of compared to that other one.
Yeah, no, it wasn't nothing like that because the rehab that I had been to before was like 4 months, so it was more inpatient, and it wasn't that. We more or less touched on things to do, like to not come back to prison, as to where the rehab that I went to before touched on more of like the drug use and dissociation and everything else like that.
Okay, all right. Have you had a drug problem in your life? Have you had a drug problem?
Yes, in the past, yes, I have.
What drugs did you use for?
Crystal meth.
Meth, okay. Anything else?
Marijuana,
okay. All right, and it looks like you had some discipline for drugs while you've been there in prison. What drug was that?
Crystal meth.
That was meth, okay.
Discipline in prison?
In prison, I believe they said you'd had one for drugs.
No.
No? Not true? Okay.
No.
All right. Okay, I'm there.
You know what? I think my first time, like in 2000, I think I had a dirty weight for marijuana.
Oh, that's probably it then. Okay. Yeah. I thought maybe I jotted this down wrong, but that could be it. That's the one, probably. Okay, and you also, it looks like in the past, you had a couple of terms of community supervision where you absconded. And even one where the board reinstated you, and you absconded again. So, why should this board consider you to be a good candidate for community supervision?
All the times I was kind of before that, I didn't even I didn't even get parole to tennis. And the time that I absconded again was, I got out to the same parole officer, and me and him had choice words, like, a heated argument, and that's the reason why the board reinstated me, I guess, to begin with. And the moment that I stepped into the office, I made a smart aleck remark, and I told him, I said, what are you doing here? And I told him, you didn't hear? The board thought that your reasoning was BS, but I didn't say BS. And he told me, well, you didn't hear? You're in violation. You're going right back. And then he told me, you already know the deal. Walk out the office. I'm not going to chase you. And that's what I did.
Okay.
So that's why. And that was with Mark Fiorello or something, like the parole officer out of Yuma.
Okay.
And me and him were just on very bad terms. But, like I said, all the other times in the past I've absconded, they said about that I missed my scheduled appointment. I called my parole officer a day prior and I let her know about my court date. So I wasn't going to be able to make it to the scheduled visit, and I rescheduled it for the next day, and that's the day that I came in. And like, I have no reason to abscond or whatever. I'm doing my best to get my life right, because my mom, for one, needs me, like, more than ever now. You know, my dad passed away in 14, and my mom has been battling lymphoid cancer, and I've been in here. So, and then you give me a reason why we should let you stay out. And I told them, because of I'm not engaging in what you guys are talking about. Yeah, and that's the thing, these messages, they're not the complete message. And that's the thing, like, I need to be there for my mother. She deserved better for me. And that's it. Like, I've been going through the process. Like, I've had a rough life. I've been incarcerated since I was a juvenile. And this is all that I knew at one point in time. But this isn't for me no more. This ain't for me. And I know you guys have heard every rebuttal or everything.
Yes, we have.
And regardless of anything, I have a couple of sources out there, because I was at the Second Chance program. I was going to be an assistant for the Masonry program to teach people that, because that's one of the things that I got out of prison. I did Masonry, I did the woodshop class, the college courses, and there's a company out of Phoenix that likes the instructor that I went through in Yuma. And so he asked me to stay there, and that's what I was gonna do. They ended up moving me. But I have a couple of sources for employment out there. So, I mean, that's not gonna be a problem. It's just that I need to be there for my mom, and I need to, I mean, I deserve better. I haven't even got to live. Like.
Okay, sir. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Any questions? Oh, Mr. Neal has a question for you. Now, Mr. Gibson.
Sir, so this Daniel that was in the text conversation, you said that's your brother?
Yeah, well, we grew up together. He's like a guy.
Okay.
We,
it's somebody you know. It's somebody you know rather well, right?
Yes.
Okay. So then the next question is, has that person been in trouble with the law, convicted of anything?
No, sir.
No? Okay. The other thing about it is, in conversation rooms, you know, you ask what he wants for the guns, and just the way the whole conversation goes, it doesn't look like it was an innocent, just nothing's happening type conversation. I put a sack under the gaff cap after he asked you to bring in the bow. And that's, you know, common for some flower or weed, whatever you want to call it. All right, thank you, sir.
Mr. Westby.
Yeah, he was a criminal from City Council Maryland, and he was staff with both City Council Maryland and City Council Underwood. So he was asked about his continued issues with his parole, specifically while he was driving the Yuma so much. Three more times, claiming he couldn't be in the court. Mr. Mayor Brown's been released from prison, and he was cuffed up to the sheriff's office for this new one, which were cleared. Finding the cell phone and searching the cell phone to confirm that the cell phone was being used by him and others. Made text messages that showed his involvement in facilitating drug transactions as well as involvement in transporting weapons on board and were surprised. The defendant denied that the phone was his, but that it was his mother's. One text message I remember from the defendant stated he was at the law office to another unknown person. Also, the phone had settings that showed the defendant's face as the primary user on the phone. He was asked by Senior Prosecutor Mayor and by this is your mother's cell phone, why is there so much porn on the phone? The phone declined to answer, and he was advised that he was in violation of the arrested in office.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Okay, Mr. Gibson, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the chance to make a final. Is there anything else you thought of that you, I don't want you to tomorrow say, oh, I should have told him this. Is there anything else that you'd like the board to know?
About the phone?
Just about anything relating to your hearing.
Okay, about that, the phone that was my mom's phone, and there was no porn on my mom's phone, that was that my Facebook thing was logged into there. So that's whatever they got from there, that was from my Facebook. That had nothing to do with my mom's phone. They even went and got my number from Katrina Gross's computer, and they dialed the number, and the phone didn't ring. And she even said, yeah, well, that is his mother's phone. My phone number is a totally different number. They called the phone, and it didn't ring. And the reason why I had my mom's phone was because of my phone had just died. But I was logged into my Facebook, so that's the reason why whatever they got was off of my Facebook.
Okay. All right. Anything else you wanted to tell the board?
I appreciate you guys taking the time to consider whatever, and I mean, if I am given another chance, I'm not going to abscond, and I'm not going to be a problem. I would just wish to have another parole officer.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your statement. Mr. Gibson, the board is going to go into discussion. And we do our discussion in public under the open meeting law. So all we ask is you just stay on the phone, just remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Okay,
thanks. There is now discussion. Mr. Gibson is an individual who doesn't have a good track record with respect to absconding, and he certainly admits that, says he didn't take it seriously in the past. As regards this commitment, he asserts that these conversations were taken out of context, and I understand how that can happen. But I just wonder about the wisdom of him being a known a felon and having conversations about guns on his phone with someone. And I think he's a smart man, because I've heard him speak, and I think he's pretty smart, but I don't know why he's talking about guns to anybody, knowing that he's, in the position that he's in, a felon on parole. So those would be my reservations, just the track record and the judgment that he's not displaying in his conversations on his phone. But I'd certainly listen to any input of fellow board members. Mr. Kimmel.
I am not so sure about him, or if he did, outing a suspected narcotics officer either. I just can't see any reason why you wouldn't do that. So that's all I have to offer. Thank you.
Okay.
Ms. Reynolds.
Not hearing any comments from anyone else, I am going to move to, based on information, we're at 2018-W2388, our conversation with Mr. Gibson, information from Mr. Westby from the Chroma Notes. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Gibson was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by engaging in what it certainly appears to be transactions involving drugs and certainly transactions involving sales of guns. And that's my motion.
Second.
Really?
All right. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson. Agreed, Dr. Wright, Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Gibson, the board has voted unanimously to revoke your community supervision. We're showing a release date for you of February 5th of 2019. We certainly wish you the best, and especially with respect to your mother and taking care of your mother. However, just the circumstances, the overall circumstances, and you heard the discussion, we just wonder about your judgment in carrying on that kind of a conversation on your phone while you're on parole. I mean, it's just something that's not logical. So, but just based on that and on your track record, I know you say you won't abscond, and I believe you, but you do have a track record that shows that you abscond, sir. So we thank you for participating in your hearing and being so respectful to the board, and wish you the best, sir. But your hearing's concluded. Thank you so much. If you put the CO3, put the CO3 back on, because I think you're the last one. Thank you, sir.